No, we're going to read in 2 Kings. 2 Kings. And we won't take time to read all the account, but I just want to read in chapter 2, verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and wrapped it together, and smote the water. And they were divided, hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I will do for thee, before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as he still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he parted, and also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now that's the little thought I have, that Elisha here, he said, where is the Lord God of Elisha? You know, Elijah and Elisha, there's lovely teaching. I like to think of Elisha and his call. And that's what I'm going to speak on, but Elisha's call was wonderful. When Elijah came along, he was a busy man. And I do believe that God never calls a man that's unemployed to go into full-time service just to take up. As one man said when he got saved, he wasn't much of an industrious fellow before, and someone asked him what he's going to do. Tell him, what are you going to do? Well, he says, I think preaching would be about as good as any if you could get into it. And there's a lot of people, and I do believe, you know, I do believe what Lord Beaverbrook said. He said, if I had the opportunity to influence a young man in any area of service, I'm not quoting word for word, he said, I'd say go in for being of an evangelist. Rather than a millionaire or a politician. Isn't it strange? A brother said to me one time, he's a big industrialist. Don't think we have any here today. And he said, I don't know what the airlines would do without you preachers. Well, I said, brother, it's too bad you happen to get into some big thing too. And you could have flown the airlines. Elisha, I love to think of Elisha. When God sent that call to Elisha, Elijah came along. And I tell Robbie McAlee, you all love him here, and so do we down home. But you know, Robbie always has a little something to pack. I said when he got his call, he killed the cow, and he burnt the plow. And he went out full time. It's nice when you see. It's nice for brethren to take up having some meetings and doing a little work on the side. But if you're going out to trust the Lord, to do a work for Him, don't forget that the God of Elijah is living today. Whatever men think or whatever men say. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? The Lord God of Elijah, He is a God that guides His people. And He'll tell you where to go. I told you, maybe it was at some other meeting, that Mr. Joyce came to me when I was a young man. I don't know, sometimes brethren seem to get out the Lord's work very easy. That is, they seem to, they can pull strings to get out. Well, he was pulling at strings to get me up. He says, Albert, you know, God has given you a little gift to preach the gospel. One man in the chapel, he said, you know, Brother Ramsey can't teach. A lot of people say that. But he says he can preach the gospel. So he said that he came along, he could preach the gospel and I do the teaching. I wonder where you'd have brought them. Mr. Joyce urged me to go. But I believed that the God of Elijah was living. And that He was going to guide me. I practiced that from the day one when God saved me. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And He had guided me along that way. The first series of meetings I had was 17 weeks before I went out in the Lord's work with John McCracken. And there's some of the fruit of those meetings here today over in River Hebert, Nova Scotia. And I remember one dear sister, her husband was a preacher. She says, Albert, she said, he that putteth his hand to the plow and turning and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. She meant, don't go back, Albert. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. It's a nice thing if you're going out in the Lord's work, young man, to be ready. God had to train me. He had to put me in school. He had to educate me. How did He do it? He took me away from home. And He took me away up into Northern Ontario. He put me in a CO camp. That's not commissioned officers. And He put me there. And I learned lessons there that I never could have learned anywhere else. My oldest son, who is here today, I never saw him till he was 5 months old. I left 1 week before he was born. And standing on the steps of the train, you know how it rattles. There's only one rattle in Canada. They're cutting it out. And it was going along 3 o'clock in the morning. And I started to sing. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. And it called thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of thee. And the closer come to thee, draw me nearer, nearer. And just like a voice, oh, I didn't hear a voice. Just like a voice from heaven, that's what I'm doing. And for those weeks, 3 months, I was regimented there. And wasn't it lovely? God put me in with 6 school teachers. So you know how I got the wonderful grammar. And English, yeah, you know. But you should have heard it before. We had school and we had it all. But God was training me. 50 cents a day. 50 cents a day. And no allowance for your wife. That's what they gave the commissioned officers in those days. The COs. And I can remember. When they gave me, when I got a raise to $1 a day, because they put me in the office. These were the things that made us understand that material things are secondary things in life. And so, we learned that the God of Elijah is living today, whatever men think or whatever men say. We proved that. I often feel sorry for some young men that go out today. Might have everything. I never drove a car that I had to make a payment on. I rode a bicycle. Frank Pierce and I started out. Frank says, you had heard him. He says, there's Randy, he started on the bicycle and now he's flying on jets. That's the kind of a God that we're serving. The God of Elijah is living today. Ah, we could go on. We haven't got time. He's a God who guides his people. He's a God who provides for his people. He's a God who hides his people. Thank God for that. But I'm not so interested because we all believe that the God of Elijah is living today. But my little pitch this afternoon is, we know where the God of Elijah is, but we want to find out where is God's Elijah's. What is this one here today? Where is God's Elijah's? That's what we want to find out. That'll be my little closing farewell sermon. Well, I'll tell you the marks of God's Elijah. You'll find that he is a man. Not some superman, but he is a man. But he's a man that prays, James tells us. He's a man that prays. You know, it's easy, if you got a little natural gift, it's easy to preach. It's easy to preach if you've got a little natural gift. And you can preach and be away from God. Oh yes. You can carry a Bible bag and you can preach and be away from God. And you can preach and be able to fellowship your brethren. But I'll tell you one thing you can't do, brother or sister. You can't pray and be able to fellowship with God. And that's why we say, if you're going to find God's Elijah, you'll find that he's a man that prays. And then not only that, but God's Elijah is a man who obeys. He obeys. Arise and go to Sarepta. Arise and go to the brook. And the ravens, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And then when the brook dried up, arise and go to Sarepta. And that's just what Elijah did. So he's a man who obeys. Are you a man who obeys, a woman who obeys? When we're preaching to men, we're preaching to the sisters. Those told us the sisters don't preach. They preach by their lives. They preach by their subjection, their signs of subjection, their covered head, and their long hair. 1 Corinthians 11. Isn't that lovely? Why? Because to the glory of the man. Now, I'll have to give you something I got from Mr. Paisley. I got a few sermons with him, and I got a few thoughts from him. Of course, I can't preach them like he did. But you know, in every other realm, the male has the glory. When you come to the human family, God says, the woman is the glory of the man. That's why her head's to be covered and she can be a veil. You see the big lion, he comes in. You see him, the male lion, he did the Lord, and the little lion's walking alongside. Did you ever compare that? Sometimes you see the woman come in to a meeting and she is strutting and the man is coming like a little lioness alongside of her. And by there she comes. Brethren, everything is out of order when you see that. You see, he's a man who obeys, or she's a woman who obeys God's Elijah. But then I must hurry on. He's a man who stays. Stay where God puts them. Where God puts them. You know the first thing the devil wants to do when you stay, he wants to get you out of that place where he saved you, where God saved you. Why? That's where your testimony is. Oh yeah. Down home, it's Toronto. Way to Toronto. Lost in the crowd. And I never like to hear a Christian say, if I had my life to live over again, I'd do this. Now, if God sends it to Toronto, I'm looking at some of you Irishmen, and you've moved out here, and you've been a blessing out here. If God moves you, but be sure he does. But God for Elijah stayed at the brook till it dried up, and he got signs from God to go to Sarepta. Thank God. And when God told him to move, he moved. I'll say, brother or sister, won't you make a move? As a young Christian, until you get the mind of God. How do you get the mind of God? Man of prayer. Take God into your confidence. And I'll tell you that God's Elijah. And that's what we're looking for today in this company. And in Vancouver. That's what's needed here. And we need them in Newfoundland. Thank God we have them and you have them in Vancouver. And we need them all over. Men who pray. Men who obey. And men who stay where God puts them. He is a path for you, dear young sister. He is a path for you, dear young brother. And he wants you to fit into his plan. And so today, where can we find God's Elijah? Thank God. I never get discouraged as I travel around, and we do a lot of it. And we meet God's people. And look, it just thrills us when we meet up with a Christian who are devoted to the things of God. Oh, we see the sideline, we see some that promise well, but they're all over the country. God has his Elijahs. Those who are obeying his word, those who are praying, those who have a definite exercise. I believe we have them here before us today. He stays where God put him. I used to be in the niche. When I first came to Vancouver, they offered to build me a house in 1956. You didn't know that, Eric. It weren't $400,000 then. And they said, we need you here, and we'll see to it. We'll build your house. Well, I'm here. I never took the offer. I believe that God saved me. I thought about going out to Africa, and God bless those who have gone. And I thought of going different places. But as I waited on God, God put me within a realm of 15 miles where he saved me. And I've had the holy joy over the past 45 years of many a time. Pitching a gospel tent in a district and seeing some old buddy that used to dance to my music come in and listen to the gospel in such places as Savior. Ah, friend, stay where God puts you till he moves you. But you can be just as sure of the mind of God in a move as you are of your salvation. Oh. You think not? I believe so. He said, how do you know, mister? Well, I'll tell you. If you're a praying man or a praying woman, I don't have to explain to you. God will give you an inner consciousness because he says he leadeth me beside still waters. And if there's a storm in your soul and you can't get rest, remember, it's not his leading. And I'll leave that. Because I want to finish up with my last little thought. He is a man who prays. I must have got this from some preacher because it rhymes. He's a man who obeys. He's a man who stays. And he's a man who prays. That's what people don't like today. I tell you. You know, I often think of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra's the man that set up the altar. God bless his memory. he and Zerubbabel and others, we were hearing about that the other day. And you know, when things went wrong, I see, dear Ezra, the tears running down his cheeks. And he tore his garment, and he pulled out his hair. What men we... Oh, you say that's the kind of men we need today. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. That was when they laid the foundation of the altar. But you see the man who built the wall. You see the man who put up the wall to protect what Ezra had reclaimed. What do you find? When they didn't do what God wanted them to do and walk in the ways of God, he tore out their hair. And he ripped off their garments. And he chased them from them. That's the kind of men we need today. He heard them speak in the speech of Ashdod and Hebrew. You say, that must have been an awful mixture. It's just the same mixture as we have today. When you hear people talking about you to God, I always say that's the speech of Ashdod. And we want Nehemiahs today who will do the work that Nehemiah did. God's men slew 450 prophets. He says, get them all. Don't leave one. So God's man prays. God's man obeys. God's man stays. And thank God that he's a man of God. When things are wrong and God's things are at stake, he's a man who can slay. He slays the word of God. He keep a good spirit about it, but he'll do it for God. So, we want to assure you that God of Elijah is living today, and he'll provide for you. And that God, and Elijah's God are all over the country, and we have them here today. And you're saying, as I sit down, you're going to say, for the grace of God, I'll be one of God's Elijah.